Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with our great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending is something we're going to talk more about. We already had planned right after What's Trending. That is the Indianapolis Colts. Well, Adam Schefter moments ago reported, as we mentioned earlier today, that there was a workout happening for Phillip Rivers. Well, now the 44-year-old Phillip Rivers, who hasn't played since 2020, yes, the COVID season, think about how long ago that was, is signing a deal to join the practice squad of the Indianapolis Colts. We all know Daniel Jones, done for the year. Anthony Richardson on IR with that orbital fracture. He's not going to be activated. Riley Leonard's playing, but he's also a little banged up. They got Brett Rypien, Riley Leonard, and now Phillip Rivers. Now, the Colts play on Sunday against Seattle. He's obviously not playing then. But could he be ready to go for a Monday Night Football game in about a week and a half against the 49ers? I think there's a chance.
Do you think he can still throw it?
I mean, they wouldn't have signed him if he didn't look decent in the practice or the warm-up workout.
Kevin Clark just retweeted a video where he interviewed Drake May before the draft. So yeah. 2024, this is now, is still more than a year ago. And it said that Drake May was worked out with Phillip Rivers before the draft with fellow drafted guys like Bo Nix and others. And said they did a throwing contest of a net running routes, and Phillip Rivers won. And he beat all the college kids at the accuracy contest.
So if the arm's still lively, the question is, he was never all that mobile anyway. So now at 44, I mean, he's a statue, you would imagine, in the pocket. But can he operate in the confines of an offense and just smart, read the defense still, obviously, and throw accurate footballs, have a running game? Look, they have nothing to lose at this point. They're on the verge of a major disappointment after looking like they were going to be a 12 or 13 win team. They're in danger of not making the playoffs. You and I said a week ago before the Jones injury that they were going to lose out or only win one game. Maybe Phillip Rivers, can he win two for him? Because that gets him in, probably. Can he win two?
I got to say, if Phillip Rivers looks good in this offense, definitely don't pay Daniel Jones. That's a whole other part of it we can talk about here in a second. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas State won 108-49 over, I think, the worst team in college basketball, Mississippi Valley State. Goldie pointed out yesterday their only win was against a women's basketball team, not
a women's school.
A women's basketball team.
I'm just explaining I don't know how that works, but it's a women's school with a men's basketball team. I don't know. So,
they did get the win, though, easily. What, 59-point win?
They covered.
Valley State. It was like a 30-point spread or something.
Tonight, I know you're locked in for this, Cody. The MLB draft lottery is taking place. If you're wondering, the Royals have a 0.84% chance at the number one overall pick.
You know
pick.
What? They've been getting, in fairness, the Royals are out. They've had two of these draft lotteries, and they've gotten hosed.
True, true.
Both times the draft lottery has taken place, it'd be nice if a little luck went their way one time. There's a consensus number one overall pick, to my understanding, some shortstop out of UCLA.
Rock. What was it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I want to say Chuzinski, but it's
Rock,
not.
Chalowski? It was something that
might be. Chalowski.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just sounds like a baseball player. Like 1890.
The draft lottery is tonight. The White Sox have the best odds to get the number one overall pick, 27%. Minnesota, 22%. So two AL Central teams with a chance for the number one overall pick.
I'm a little concerned about it. I think he wears his hat too high.
I don't particularly.
What are you, Colin Coward now about the hat?
Wait, hold on. How big's
his head?
It looks like he's either got a lot of hair or he wears his hat.
Oh, maybe that's
higher.
What it is. But it's every photo. I think he just might have a massive head.
You mean like a 10 head?
Yeah, the 5 head for sure. You know, it's something. It's not good.
A 10 head would be crazy. Like freaking Peyton Manning or something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, I hope the Royals get the number one overall pick tonight. Let's do it.
Sure. Why not? Right?
Rock Chalowski. If you got a name, if you got your first name is Rock, I mean,
R-O-C-H.
I mean, I guess it could be pronounced a different way. I'm not going to look it up right now. Next up on What's Trending, Heisman finalists have been announced. Jeremiah Love, Diego Pavia, Julian Sayin, and Fernando Mendoza, the four that will be heading to the Heisman ceremony. All odds currently favor Mendoza. Have been favoring Pavia up to that point, but Mendoza's win over Ohio State's going to be hard to ignore, although admittedly, this is the stupidest part about the Heisman. There were people who sent in their Heisman vote and submitted who they thought the winner was before Indiana played Ohio State, which is the most insane way to do it. But there are people every year, so it won't be unanimous, but I still think Mendoza will win.
Yeah, it's dumb. Way too many voters. They shouldn't even allow you to submit your ballot until after conference title weekend. I don't get it whatsoever. And yes, Mendoza is going to end up winning this thing after what happened, though, for those who did not vote already after what happened in the Big Ten title game. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up 1 hour from now, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, will join us. We will, of course, talk about what happened on Sunday still against the Texans and some of the bigger picture items that we've been addressing over the last 24, 48 hours or so about where they go this offseason. Is there going to be some changes there? Do they need to make staff changes, and also just where some of these individual player performances are, and could there be some changes with even some guys that have been crucial pieces here during the dynasty run. So that's coming up a little bit later on today. Before we get to all 32, I want to talk more about the Colts. We were going to talk about them anyway before the Philip Rivers news became official that he's going to sign to the practice squad. But yeah, Daniel Jones, unfortunately, I feel terrible for him. I really do. Done for the year. He was trying to gut it out for his team, playing with a broken fibula, for crying out loud. And then he, was it a ruptured or torn Achilles? Done for the year. Was due for a big contract extension. And that's the question. What do you think you do if you're the Colts there?
I wouldn't have paid him before. I certainly wouldn't pay him now.
Because you traded for Sauce Gardner, which when that happened, I remember we were doing the show. We both, and I think everybody kind of knew, like, well, this means that you're not using draft picks for a quarterback. You're going to sign Daniel Jones to an extension in the offseason.
Yeah.
I still think that happens. I still think they do, but maybe the number. Well, who's their quarterback, Cody?
I know. I guess part of this is,
like, he'll get a smaller deal. I'm with you, but who they don't have draft picks to draft a quarterback. And who else are you bringing in next year?
I don't know who the free agent quarterback list is, so obviously that can't do me much
good. Kirk Cousins might be available. You can go back down that right. You can get another Achilles guy.
Or you can go back to year two with Phillip Rivers. Give him an extra year, you know?
45-year-old.
The thing is that if Phillip Rivers looks good, let's just say by some miracle, he just like pops in and they go 2-1 during Phillip Rivers' stead or whatever, which seems insane. Don't you see the problem now? If any quarterback this year would have worked with the Colts, and I got to be honest, that's what it felt like with Daniel Jones. It didn't feel like Daniel Jones was dragging what a resurgence. It just felt like the Colts had a great offense, and Daniel Jones was just not screwing it up for a while until he started screwing it up and then eventually got hurt. And if that's the case, don't do it, man. Don't pay him. And you're right. Who's your quarterback? And I'm not gonna just utter the answer of anybody. Yeah, probably Kirk Cousins. Somebody who will take less money than Daniel Jones. Now, look, if the deal's cheap, and Daniel Jones knows the system, fine, I'm in. That's not a big deal. I'm not saying you can't pay him anything, but the contract we thought he was going to get, it can't be that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It can't be that.
I think if the experts on this are correct in the recovery time for his Achilles, he could be ready for week one. We'll see. I mean, this offseason, there will be names like the Cardinals moving on, maybe from Kyler Murray out there. Pittsburgh is going to need a new quarterback because Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, is coming back for another year, even if he goes and wins playoff games. And certainly if he were to have an unbelievable postseason and get the Steelers to the Super Bowl, even more reason why I think he would retire. So Pittsburgh might need a quarterback. The Cardinals could move on from Kyler Murray.
But then
I don't know what the Vikings are going to do with their quarterback situation.
I think they'll give J.J. McCarthy one more year.
The Raiders are going to need a quarterback. There's no way they're running it back with Geno Smith, for crying out loud.
Contract they gave him, he might get one more year too, but they might draft too.
The Jets are going to go draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, or sign somebody. Like, so there's going to be teams in need of quarterbacks. I'm just saying, and the Colts will be one of them. It would not surprise me if they still try to go back with the Daniel Jones path.
Somebody pointing out over on Twitter.
Yeah, Mac Jones is a trade candidate. He has to be traded. He won't be a free agent, but Mac Jones would be a trade.
Yeah, maybe give him a sixth or something, seventh. You wouldn't have to pay much to get him. Phillip Rivers has his oldest kid is older than seven of his current teammates. Just so you know, including Riley Leonard. Look, is there any... There is, weirdly enough, there's some part of me that thinks this could work? Is that sick? As in, this will be an upgrade over other guys they would have played?
I think they could make the playoffs if Phillip Rivers starts the final three games. He's not going to start this Sunday, but if he starts the final three games, I actually think there's a chance they could make the playoffs. And they're not going to win the division, but as a wild, be like the seventh seed all of a sudden and go to two seed New England and then lose that game or something? Yeah.
But I mean, God, he's 44! He's 40. He's got a 23-year-old.
He also has a 1-year-old. So he's young at heart.
Riley Leonard is a rookie with no experience, and he's dealing with a grade 1 PCL sprain. That's a problem. And Anthony Richardson, they're not bringing back. So with all Brett Rippon's not going to do better.
Is Anthony
than
Richardson healthy?
Orbital fracture. Remember, he got hurt in pregame. Right, he had the stretching band thing, and it slapped and hit him in the eye and broke an orbital bone.
Oh my God, I forgot all about that.
Otherwise, it would be Anthony Richardson right now. You're right.
It would, and that would be fine, and they wouldn't go after Phillip. It's not fine, but like...
They would not be signing Rivers, you're right.
I just... What can a quarterback do who legitimately has not played football since COVID?
Well, they think something.
I mean,
they
do think you realize something. How long it's been since he played in an NFL football game? Hell, it was the last time the Colts went to the playoffs, funny enough. The last time they went to the playoffs, Phillip Rivers was their starting quarterback. He had a very good career. He's not a Hall of Famer, is he? Because he's now delaying that by 5 years, I guess, is why I'm asking.
Push back 5 years.
If he signs officially with them, he'll push back his Hall of Fame chance by 5 years.
He was always going to be in the conversation of if he ever got in, he's going to have to wait a long time. Like, it's going to be one of those. Like, he's not getting in the first year or two or something. It's one of those way
senior
down.
Committee, maybe even. Is it that far down the list?
I don't know about that, but I think it'd be he's got some
ballot.
Of the he's got some of the numbers, but he has no playoff history, really, as far as, you know, I'm talking about getting to a Super Bowl is what I mean by that. And so I guess if you're him, why would you want to come back? You've made $240 million in your career. Because if he thinks his team is good, you just asked me about his Hall of Fame case. What if he were to come back and win a playoff game or two? That would help. That would help his Hall of Fame case. They would say at 44, you came back and won a playoff game. That would be something that people would use to help his case. So that's the intrigue if you're him.
And yeah, I'm sure you just miss it. Like, it's people always pretend like it's the easiest thing in the world to understand why players come back. They miss it. He played football for like 20, 30 years of his life, right? He's probably like 10 years old playing peewee, and he played all the way up till he was 40 years old. He still coaches football. He probably just misses it. He's coaching football, and they're like, hey, you want to come play in the NFL again for a couple of games?
Why wouldn't you? If you're Rivers, why wouldn't you say yes to this opportunity?
Look,
you know,
truthfully, I feel like the Colts offense functioned not because of Daniel Jones, but because they had a great offensive scheme this year and a bunch of really good weapons, and all he had to do was operate. And if I'm saying all Phillip Rivers has to do is operate, I think he weirdly might be able to do that. Like, if you had told me the entire year Phillip Rivers started for them versus Daniel Jones, their record might only be one game different. Like, I would give Daniel Jones the edge, but like, I don't think their record would be two or three games different. I think they'd be a relatively comparable team. I think that this kind of isn't the dumbest move of all time, even if I think it's insane that Grandpa Phillip Rivers is going to start games for the Colts in the year 2025.
Papa Rivers.
Yeah, old Papa. You know, he's got, I mean, again, he has a 23.
That would be hilarious if they actually called him Pawpaw on the roster. That
what was a life. Nickname. He has seven teammates who are younger than his mm-hmm. oldest kid at 23. But he's also got a grandkid the same age as his actual kid. So who the he's a man of mystery. He's living an interesting life, old
that
Phil Rivers.
That is insane. He's got a child of his that is as young as his.
His other kid?
His grand.
Well, he's got 10 kids, man. I mean, you got to spread him out a little bit, I guess.
Who was it? Was it Philip Rivers? Who am I thinking of? Who was the quarterback that, because he didn't want to move out of San Diego? Was this Phil? He had like a vehicle that was outfitted. He could drive. He could watch film. That was him, right?
Yeah. He had the gigantic, like, yeah, someone drove him, and he had like a, because he didn't want to leave LA in San Diego. He stayed in San Diego, and he would drive down in a giant passenger van that he had laid out so he could watch film. Yes, the entire way down to LA.
Yeah, and yes, Texas, old man Rivers right there. Right there for us. Right there.
What a time. Probably an interesting day there in Indianapolis as they go and look at their roster.
I you know what? They got nothing to lose. I have no issue with them signing Philip Rivers. Got nothing to lose if you're the Colts. And I expect him to play Monday Night Football against the Niners in a week from this coming Monday.
I don't think
Monday.
He's playing this Sunday.
No, I don't think so either. All right, let's get to All 32. So for me on All 32 today, I want to talk about replay assists. We didn't get to this yesterday on the show. We all know the moment on Sunday Night Football. Ball carrier appears to be short for the Texans. That's the call on the field. Very quickly after that, after replay assists, the ball carrier reached the line to gain. It's a first down for Houston. We're like, huh? Andy Reid proceeds to try to challenge it. And immediately in the press box, we're all like, well, that is the review. Like, what, you're going to challenge the same people that are trying
to... And you guys probably thought he was stupid because you weren't listening to the TV broadcast at the time.
Well, it's just the idea of...
Fair.
If
why are you challenging something that they already reviewed?
They already reviewed it, so you're not going to win a challenge. The ref said, well, he doesn't have to challenge it because replay assist was wrong. So, one, it was bizarre. Also, is this not a problem? That I don't know about you guys. I thought replay assist, when they assisted on the replay, like, it was correct.
I gotta say,
like the call, not in that instance, but like in general, if I tell you any other game you watch this year and we're like, oh, replay assists buzzed in and said it's this, we all assume that was essentially a challenge from upstairs and they were doing the correct call. Now I have question, replay assist, you're telling me they're screwing it up or did the ref just miss here? The only explanation I can understand is the ref has an earpiece. They say, hey, the ball carrier was short of the line to gain and he heard it wrong and he said, replay assist said it's a first down, and then they're like, no, we didn't say that, pal.
I gotta say,
I don't know.
The only reason I don't think that happened is the amount of time it took. They were getting ready to run a play. Andy had to throw the flag, so they didn't run a play and actually take a look at the thing. I think had Andy not said anything, they would have allowed that to stand as a first down and force him to make the play. I now, just to be clear, infinitely trust replay assist way less. Sorry. Artie didn't like replay anyway. Think they get things wrong all the time. Hell, I still think the, was it the Ravens? What was the one where he made like four steps with the football in his hand in the end zone and then they didn't end up calling it a touchdown? The Ravens game, right? Against the Steelers?
Isaiah Likely, yeah.
I still think that's a touchdown. Wait, am I seeing something different that somebody else isn't?
I think everybody thinks it's a touchdown.
And so like, this is the part of replay that I still don't like is because there's subjectivity, you're just never going to get all these things right. And now replay assist is changing correct calls on the field, which is insane in
bizarre.
Its own right.
Bizarre.
In its own right. I want to point out something that I think sometimes happens in sports, and this is the difference between box score, because I happen to watch both of these games. I know it's going to be everyone's instinct to be like, look how bad Patrick Mahomes was this year, and look, or this week, and look how bad Jalen Hurts was this week. They both stunk right in this previous Sunday game and cost their chance of winning a football game. I watched both games. One of those quarterbacks stunk significantly worse than the other one, and it was Jalen Hurts. His season has looked awful. They still have a really talented roster, more talented than the Chiefs roster. It's still A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith and an offensive line. And look, they're still hoping to get a left tackle back. The offensive line hasn't been nearly as good. And I do want to give Jalen Hurts the benefit of the doubt when we have these top 10 quarterback conversations. Because, man, when the playoffs come around, that dude just wins. He actually has more passing touchdowns than he did last year, more yards per game than he did last year. He does not pass the eye test other than winning. There's just like, other than winning, I watch Jalen Hurts play football and I'm like, he's Caleb Williams, but with a better roster. Not that he's talentless, but he is not the reason they win a lot of football games. And last night, That's as bad as I've seen a quarterback play this year.
Yeah. He's been awesome in two Super Bowls. In two Super Bowls.
Yes.
Any other time you watch him, I don't know how you come away impressed. That's just, like you said, the eye test. You watch him, he looks like an average quarterback out there at times. But in the Super Bowl, to his credit, he was awesome in this past one, and he was awesome even in the one they lost to Kansas City. But in the regular season, operating that offense, when he's not able to do the tush push, it is a brutal watch. It really is.
Yeah, and they're going to take that thing away from him next year, maybe.
Yep.
And so, like, he had, that part of the offense,
he got negative four fantasy football points on one play. He turned the ball over twice.
He threw a pick. They recovered a fumble. He did. And then they stripped the ball from him and took it away again. And then the very next play was a different interception by Justin Herbert that was.
And then the one to end the game in overtime was it was horrendous. No need to throw that football.
Oh no, they both quarterbacks were bad in the game last night. I'm just saying, like, bad games are not created equal. Please do not lump in this week's performance of Patrick Mahomes in with Jalen Hurts.
From one bird team to another, ooh, I'm going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks because I don't know if it's just
under the
because
radar, the old Seahawks.
I don't know if they're a West Coast team and that's the reason why, or it's not paying enough attention.
It's because I watched Darnold blow it in the final 3 weeks with the Vikings last year and then look awful in the playoffs. The only reason I can't buy in yet is he had Justin Jefferson. He looked like this in Minnesota and then eventually it all crumbled. He has Jackson, Smith and Jigba. It looks like this again. I'm just worried he'll crumble, Drew. That's the truth.
They are second in the NFL in points per game. They are second in the NFL in points given up on defense. They are one of the best teams on paper, passing and run defending. They got one of the best defenses in the league. And it just feels like people aren't talking about it.
And maybe
it's Sam Darnold, but I legitimately think that because they're, a game back of the Rams? If they can find a way to win that division, Mike McDonald is winning coach of the year because of the job that he's done in getting Seattle back to where, not necessarily the Legion of Boom necessarily, but in terms of their prowess as a legit contender to potentially make a run, he's at the forefront of that, obviously, doing a great job coaching.
They've been undervalued all season long. I mean, whether we're talking about just narrative-wise or in betting markets, et cetera, they have been a very, very undervalued team. And yeah, in the confines of that offense, Sam Darnold once again looks really, really sharp. I'm not as worried about him falling apart this year as what happened last year. They're not asking him to do the same stuff. They run the ball in the red zone more than any other team in football. They're not asking him to go and do it all and sling the ball around the yard. And then when they do, of course, Jackson, Smith and Jigba is putting together an absolutely insane season. I don't know if I agree on the coach of the year part. It depends, Drew. I think it would require Mike Vrabel losing the Buffalo and slipping out of one of the top, the top number one seed. If the Patriots are the number one seed in the AFC, it'll be Vrabel. Now, if they're not, then I think Mike McDaniel does what you said and wins the division. Then I think right now, Mike McDonald at 6-1 is a good bet. But if Vrabel gets the one seed, it's Mike Vrabel's winning the award, and he may not even have to do that.
Can I say that it is genuinely disturbing to look down at the standings and see that the Miami Dolphins, a team who fired everyone essentially except their head coach and just said, we're going to fire you soon, we just haven't gotten around to it yet, has the same record as the Chiefs.
And the Carolina Panthers.
They've won four games in a row.
Have a better record.
Yeah. Yep.
The Carolina Panthers with Bryce Young.
In a weird way, that one doesn't bother me nearly as much as Miami. Miami had quit on the season. They had lost all of it. And this is where, again, I still think there's I did this last week for All 32. I think there's a 60% chance Mike McDaniel keeps that job.
Well, if they keep winning, they will.
I think there's
the
a
fact that
I think there's
back him as much as they do. I think he does. I think as an organization, you have to keep him.
I kind of think there's, and if he doesn't get this job, I guarantee you he's getting one of the jobs that comes open.
100%. I agree.
He will be. He's not if you have some pipe dream and he's your guy and you think he's going to be the new offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. I don't think they're getting rid of Nagy, but you get the point. But that pipe dream's dead. He is going to be a NFL head coach somewhere in the year 2026, unless he chooses to just Mike McCarthy did the coaching summit year off or whatever. Maybe he just wouldn't get a job, but sometimes coaches take a year off.
I'll tell you that. Mike McCarthy's going to get a job again this coming offseason. He might be the next head coach of the Giants.
That'd be an interesting one. Jackson Dart, Cam Scadaboo, Mike McCarthy.
And a top 10 pick.
And another top 10 pick. Who did they take this time?
The one mock we looked at had them taking Carnell Tate. So Tate with Neighbors and Dart and Scadaboo.
They should take Mekhi Lemon to pair with him instead.
There you go. There you go. That is All 32. All right, up next, guys, let's talk about something we briefly touched on earlier. I want to dive deeper into it, and that is some comments from Reese Davis of ESPN about Indiana and Kurt Cignetti and comparing it with Bill Snyder in Kansas State. You both seem to agree. I don't. I'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Coming up in a half hour, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, going to join us in studio. Plenty to get into with Nate about the present, about the future. We will get into that in a little bit. He was obviously in the locker room as well. I talked to him a little bit. I want to get his, if he read the locker room kind of the same way that I did and what we discussed yesterday with Travis Kelce and how he was just sitting there in uniform still, kind of thinking about everything, right? And so we'll get into that in just a bit. Random question of the day coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But earlier, Drew has on Tuesdays his little college football segment, and he talks about some of the things on his mind. And one of the things we didn't have time to dive deeper into, it was a passing comment from both of you. And I was like, whoa, this is interesting. We need to talk more about this. And it was something that Reese Davis had said during the college football playoff selection show on Sunday. And the quote from Reese Davis was, quote, "With all due respect to Bill Snyder in Kansas State, but Kurt Cignetti's coaching job is the greatest turnaround in college football history."
By the way, the only person that this argument is with Bill Snyder, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So, that's, like, there's no other part of the conversation.
Absolutely. So, let's step back. You very quickly agreed, I think, with the statement earlier in the show. And I said, let's talk this out a little bit. Let me be clear. I don't think it is the most, like, crazy take to have by any means. I don't think it's that far out of left field when you consider where Indiana was as a program.
Yeah.
I still think there's a little recency bias happening. Now, you tell me Kurt Cignetti goes and wins a national title, then clearly the case gets stronger, and I don't know how you can't agree at that point. But I want to remind, and I know we got plenty of K-State fans listening, and so I think Reese Davis's comment was getting caught up in the moment, and I think we're forgetting, well, yes, Indiana right now, when Kurt Cignetti took over, had the most losses in the history of college football. So that's true. They hadn't won a bowl game since 91. So it's not the most ridiculous
since
thing.
91.
But let's not forget. Let's not forget, though.
K-State almost lost their football program.
Bill
was
Snyder
story.
Got there in 89 or 90. They, at the time, had the most losses in college football history. They had only won one conference title. And as you know, we talk about, like, hey, does it even really count? 1934, okay? And one bowl game. They had no facility.
No.
They had no TV deal. There was no such thing as a transfer portal. There was no such thing as NIL. I'm just saying.
He just had to go out on the streets and get JUCO players.
Let's pump the brakes. I will still side that Bill Snyder, the greatest turnaround in college football history, before I give it to Kurt Cignetti. It's a little bit caught in the moment because Cignetti is doing unreal things and deserves every bit of attention and props he's getting. But let's remember history a little bit, please. That's all.
Do you think that it's... So you're saying you think it should be easier to turn a program around now.
Absolutely.
Than it was in
absolutely.
The
80s. Absolutely.
I mean, I get the point in the sense that it's easier to get attention for your program. You play in the Big Ten. Someone's going to see you on TV, all this other stuff. But at the same time, I don't know, like in a weird way, he has to like deal with all the extra noise. All Bill Snyder had to do is be good at coaching football, finding talent at the JUCO levels until you were decent enough that you could actually recruit players.
He couldn't just snap his fingers, though, and get a bunch of donors to write checks and turn over the roster, though.
I know, but like no one was doing that for Indiana. There wasn't just some like Hail Mary funds coming in. He actually had to make them a viable football program. And I think what impresses me about this one more than the, and maybe... Look, splitting hairs, maybe, right? Like, I don't think there's some huge difference, I guess, in that end. But what blows me, like, kind of like it's like choosing which way. What blows me away in the sense that what you're talking about is he turned it around immediately. Bill Snyder, it took him 3, 4, 5 years, right? Like, he had
I would push back and say the reason for that is what? We disagree, but I would say, well, yeah, transfer portal, NIL. Well,
the
facilities at Indiana, the facilities at Indiana today are obviously far better than what Bill Snyder had back then. And TV deals.
I think Big this Ten, is an opinion Big of which Ten, one's harder to do. But yeah, I get your
point. Yeah, and Big Ten has a massive television deal, whether you're Indiana or Ohio State.
But it's not like the other. It's not like Indiana has NIL and nobody else does. Everybody has NIL, so it's just as difficult, I think, in terms. If we're going to talk NIL, everybody else has
it.
But
your
just the same as NIL, and as nobody had it previously.
But Drew,
I think it's the exact same thing because everybody had it or everybody didn't.
But all the time, when the last 2 months when we've been talking about coaching carousel and whether Cignetti would leave and whether Penn State's a good job, what has been your number one? Like, and by the way, you were correct on this with Cignetti. I'm just saying your opinion 2 months ago is what I'll use against you, though, in this conversation, which, because 2 months ago you were correct in that, hey, this is why Cignetti shouldn't leave, because you can win anywhere, and that he's got a massive NIL budget now. So telling me that, like, everybody has NIL, so why it still is an issue for Cignetti, I would argue you acknowledged 2 months ago that Indiana's NIL budget is as good as anybody's now in the country.
If you use NIL as the main reason why IU is good, though, then you're saying Kurt Cignetti is not as good of a coach. Then it's because NIL. I think that's disrespectful.
I'm not saying he's not a good coach at all.
No, hang on. I know. I think it's disrespectful, though, in the sense that if you're saying, well, he's only good at Indiana because of NIL, I think that's extremely disregarding and disrespectful to the job that he's done. Where in the first year he brought over JMU staff and a bunch of JMU Sun Belt players. And he almost went undefeated.
And it's 2 years of this, right? 2 years of this, right?
Yeah, he's got to do it longer.
2 years.
For that.
Bill Snyder didn't just show up for 2 years and bail. No,
in fairness, you're right. You can't give it to Cignetti yet.
No,
that's
I understand
fair.
That, but I'm saying in terms of the immediacy of it and him being number one in the country, Bill Snyder never got to number one in the country. Indiana is number one in the country within two years of him bringing over
Sunbelt
players.
If they win the title, though, you have to admit.
If they make it to the national title, I think it's also part. The best year in program history was 8-4. 8-4 was the best year they never made it to in this current era. They had never made it to a Big Ten title game and never won it. They did that on Saturday. Amidst taking down the biggest competition, where in terms of NIL and all of those things, they've had it forever.
I hear you, and I agree with you guys on the national title point. If they get to a national title game or win one, then we can revisit the conversation. I still think the longevity part has to matter here. You're right.
That's fair.
In 2 years, look what Cignetti has done. It's amazing. But you're saying Bill Snyder never got them to number one or whatever. I don't care if you were God. you were not in 2 years at Kansas State in the era of 1989 and 1990, 1991. There was no possible chance on earth there of turning a roster from what it was in a program from what it was into a number one team in the country in that era of college football when you did not have a transfer portal. Like, literally impossible. And what Cignetti is doing is unheard of as well, Drew. But I don't know how we cannot act like if you've got money behind you and you've got transfer portal right now, it doesn't guarantee you. Like, Cignetti still has to execute it properly. But saying that the tools there to do it don't exist, that exist now are the same that tools existed there, is just not true. You were not able to do what he just did in 1990 is what you can possibly do now.
I do it different, and I'm not, yeah.
But again, that's taking away from what Kurt Cignetti's done.
It's not taking away from what he's done.
No, I think it absolutely is, because you're only a product of your environment. If Kurt Cignetti not that he would ever do this, obviously, but if it's like, well, I'm going to make the biggest turnaround compared to what Bill Snyder did, and he didn't use any NIL, then you'd be Dabo Sweeney and you'd be 5-7 and you'd be in a bowl game. That's what you would be doing. I think that's where the comparison.
And that's why he's even being, that's why I said it's not the most asinine take that's why we can have the conversation, because it's you're acting like I'm saying like there's no chance on earth that we can even have the conversation. I'm telling you, I think.
You just said that nobody, including God, couldn't do what Bill Snyder did essentially in 1990.
Okay, maybe I misspoke where you didn't hear me. In 1990, you're saying Bill Snyder did not do in 2 years what Cignetti's done in 2 years. And I'm saying, I don't care who you were in 1990, you were not turning a program into the number one team in the country in a 2 year span from where K-State was, because you did not have NIL and transfer portal. Yes, I did say that.
And I've said that I agree with the idea that
And NIL, Kansas State was AP number one, Drew, multiple times.
It does appear, including...
I'm talking about finishing the season. They were the number one...
The season's not over yet for Indiana either.
Indiana, at the end of the season, is the number one team in the country.
You and I both know that's not how the AP poll works. When the national title game is over...
There is no AP poll anymore. Indiana is the number one team in the country at the end of the year.
You moved the goalpost a little on that one. I mean, can we admit? Because, like... Because, I mean, they were AP number one. You didn't specify... That's moving the goalpost a little bit. And look, I'm with you in that I think... Cignetti deserved, because again, these are two of the worst. I think the reason why K-State fans, and I think part of the reason they hold on to is what you mentioned, Gold, which is this
idea. When are they AP number one? K-State has never been number one according to College Football Reference. They've been number two.
I don't know.
I'm looking at the history of the school right now.
I'll pull it up.
So when we're talking about it, though, and where they are as a program, both, I think, and to your point, Gold, maybe it was a little bit different or challenging in this way. I would argue that you didn't have to, like, I can make the same noise, like, you didn't have to deal with nearly as much. The job was easier. Bill Self's coaching job was
easier. That's why coaches are leaving.
The 1998 Kansas State Wildcats were undefeated, ranked number one in coaches, number two AP. Okay.
It says number two AP according to...
Number one coach is number two AP.
But this is the thing. So somebody made the comparison of this is like the Marlins going and dropping money. No, it's not. Because the money that... Money is so different in terms of the Marlins can't necessarily just buy your roster in college football and immediately have success. You look at Colorado, they bought their roster a couple years ago and they haven't really had much immediate success in terms of the turnaround of the school. They got the number one quarterback in the country and they sucked this year. That I think you just claiming NIL, well, they have a more NIL budget. So does everybody else. If you look at the $20.5 million that Indiana is spending, I almost guarantee you the percentage is probably different and less for Indiana football than it is for Ohio State football or
You're stuck on the
Alabama
NIL thing
football.
Though because you're ignoring also
because you
everything
brought
else.
Up NIL. That's
as,
why I'm talking about
as
it.
One of the but you're also ignoring the other part. Like, yeah, we're focused on NIL now, but like you're acting like when Bill Snyder showed up in 1989 that Kansas State like had the exact same scenario. The programs had the most both programs had the most losses in the history of college football when they each took over. So like we're acting like what Cignetti did had never been done before in that realm. They both did that exact same thing.
And I would give Bill Snyder a lot of credit in this case in this. Sense that he took a team that had won three games in the 4 years previous to him taking over and inside of a decade did have them as a national title contender. They ended up losing the Big 12 title game and then losing their final bowl game. But like if there were a college football playoff in night, and this is the other part of the problem that City has is like they'd be in it anyway, but it's like if there was a playoff, he'd still have a chance to win the title. Look, if Cignetti wins it, I don't even know that you could make much of an argument. He'd taken the losest program in college football history and in 3 years made him a national title winner. I mean, it like the longevity part won't matter to me then. To your point now, Gold, the longevity part does still hold some water. If he wins a title this year, I don't really care about longevity. He took the losingest program in college football and took him to a title.
I've conceded the point that if Cignetti wins the national title, then I will say that's the answer. Also, more information, Kansas State started 10-0 in 2012. They were number one in the BCS rankings then, too. So they have
it's not the AP rankings. That's
they have absolutely been number one multiple times during...
What I'm looking at is Kurt Cignetti brought kids in from a very small situation compared to that of others, and...
Yeah,
won 11 games and made it to a college football playoff and gave themselves a shot at a national title.
And that's why he's
and
in this conversation.
That's not what Bill Snyder did. And that's why I would say, no. In year one, I'm talking about. Year one.
And that goes back to where we just are going to agree to disagree.
With small school kids. That's why Kansas State.
Bill Snyder had a bunch of big school kids coming to K-State.
Hang on a second. You can say that Bill Snyder inherited a similar situation. He did not do what Kurt Cignetti did in year one. That's why I think it is the best turnaround because it was faster.
Kansas
that is not
State
a distra-
was in small Manhattan, Kansas, with no facilities.
Indiana is in really small Bloomington, and they are really,
in a Big Ten conference with the same media deal and money that Ohio State gets. K-State had no media deal
which
in 1989.
Which is exactly why it's a big deal, because they sucked in the same situation, and he pulled them up from the grave himself and beat the team that was at the top in 2 years.
I think
that's why it's the best turnaround to me, because he did it quicker and faster, and he's taken this team to the top where Bill Snyder, it took some time to get there, and that's not a diss at Bill Snyder. And the fact that Kurt Cignetti did it at the speed in which he did is the reason why it's the best turnaround.
I got to say, they did also, like, and that this is just part of the legacy when you talk about greatest turnarounds ever, is they legit were getting ready to cut football. Like, they were like, budget cuts. Yeah.
Bill Snyder
really see a point
Bill
in Snyder
built,
football anymore.
Bill Snyder built his program through JUCO. And by the way, let this conversation be referenced for any of you that call me a K-State hater or whatever. This is me defending the hell out of it. Someone on the text line said, Gold, you just don't like the Wildcats. Did you not listen in the last 15 minutes? All I've done has been defending Bill Snyder. Anyway, all right. You ready? Random question of the day.
Random question.
We can't be citing the internet its existence, though, is part of the reason why it was harder for Bill Snyder. The internet does not make Cignetti's job easier or harder. The random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology. Care at KCUC. Yeah. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We see your comments over there as well. On the Bill Snyder conversation, and hopefully the answer to the random question of the day today comes via Drew. I already had one pegged, but he was talking about it before the show, and so now I'm curious if other people are doing it. Drew told us before the show he got on old Amazon.com and bought a safe for his phone because he's trying to use his phone less. So the question I have for you is 913-586-7965. Is that something you would consider? Is that something you have considered? Is that something you do now with either yourself or your kids? Do you lock your phone away? Do you have no phone periods? Do you charge your phone in a different room so you don't look at it in your bed? I want to know your trying to reduce your screen time habits. That's what a random question I have today. It sounds like Gold, unfettered.
Yeah, I mean,
access at all times.
I definitely could be on my phone less. There's no doubt. Yeah, I'm definitely, the screen time stuff is crazy. I would never buy a device though to lock my phone.
Why not?
I'm a grown adult. If I want to use my phone, I'm going to use my phone. That's basically my answer to that.
Well, you're trying to habit change, you know? That's the point, I guess.
I definitely am on my phone too much though. Absolutely.
So you charge it next to your bed? Reaching distance?
Yep. Oh yeah.
Right. Do you put do not disturb on?
I do that. Yep.
Okay. So you got one thing in place.
Yep.
If I don't want to use my phone, Drew, I don't use if I'm like, all right, I've been looking at my phone too much, I'll just put it in another room. I don't like, it's not a safe, but I will like go plug it in another room, put it in another room, intentionally leave it.
You'll put
it
in another room.
Yeah. Okay. Intentionally leave it further away from me. So it's like, I don't want to look at this right now. There's no reason to think I need to look at this right now. There's not somebody in the hospital. I got to make sure if something comes up, they'll find a way to get a hold of me. Why? My wife is better than me at not just like picking it up during the commercial of something or this or that. I don't have a safe, but I will intentionally set it in another room if I'm trying not to use it.
Well, how much does this device cost? What's this?
$25.
$25.
Okay.
And how did you just get it or have
I just got it yesterday. Used it for the first time.
So take me through just truly like what, so I got 8 o'clock you put it in this device or what? What's
I plan to use it just if I feel the need to like be away from my phone, I guess. Like,
yeah.
But like at night. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll go to bed, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 10:30. And I just get on my phone, and before I know it, it's midnight, and, you know, time just flies. You're just scrolling on your phone. I might be looking up something for tomorrow, for the next show, or I just be scrolling on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. But time, I don't need to be on it. It's not benefiting or enhancing anything. In that time period, I might as well just go to bed. So why not prohibit myself in a way? Because there's an emergency unlock. Like, if I really needed it,
That's what I was wondering. Like, what if you actually need your phone?
But try to have more discipline in forcing myself to not be on my phone, or especially, like, I'll be watching some basketball games tonight because it's the Cup, I'm sure. So during that time period, I'm going to make a better two, but I don't need to be on my phone the entirety of the game. Or, hey, during commercials, I'm on my phone and I'm looking at stuff. Just find something else to do in that time period. So that's what the goal is with this lockbox, if you will. So
the only time, I mean, when you described this earlier today, I was like, this reminds me, you know, we went to, like, if you go to a comedy show, a big enough comedy show, they will have you, some of these places will have these
Yonder packs.
Yeah, they'll have you put your phone in the, whatever it's called, those packs, they'll have you put your phone in there and you can't pick it up till the end of the show. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is bizarre.
I think it's what I like about going to the movies. It's like, I'm like Drew, where I am trying to reduce it at least some, but the problem is that I just change it with other hobbies. So just as long as it's like reading or something else, it's fine. But if it's just, I'm putting it down to watch more TV, have I really accomplished anything?
You're both doing screen time that way, too.
Yeah. Like, have I really accomplished that much? I'll say, so over on Twitch, Legend says the kids have tablets and TV. It's on a timer where the internet shuts off at 8 p.m.
Okay.
So at 8 p.m.
I get it for kids.
My kids, we just straight up turn it off. Kitchen timers.
Yeah.
So, like, when it's like, hey, you got 15 minutes, we set a kitchen timer and the timer goes off, they know to turn them off. But I'm not, like, I'm almost worse than they are sometimes. Yeah, so I'm trying to find some balance.
I'm bad about it. I'm not saying, like, I am on my phone way too much. Fully admit that. If I had kids, like what you're talking about there, I would totally want to limit the amount of screen time that they have. I think it is especially for kids. It's not healthy. And I could be on it less as well. I don't think I'm ever going to buy a device though to do that. That's all. But the screen time could use a tick down.
Again, that's why I just put it in another room for a little bit. Because you have to, like, what Drew's doing is smart in the sense, I think, that you have to break the habit to reach for it. If it's in the other room, I still have the mental thing of, like, I'm going to reach for this thing. Do you ever, like, put it on the, like, because it starts in small ways. It's like, oh, God, I've been looking at my phone too much. I will, like, I might not stand up, move, and go put it in another room, but I might chuck it to the other side of the couch so it's without arm's reach. Oh. I don't need it, like, physically within my grasp, because then at the very least, when I have the instinct to grab for it,
if I'm with other people, then I can stay off my phone, right? You know, like, I'm out there sitting on a date and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to check my phone. But if I'm by myself, in what you said, if I'm watching Sunday Night Football and I'm at home, and let's take the Chiefs part in our job out of it for a second.
Yeah,
just in general, random NFL game is on, whatever. Like, I have my phone next to me and I'm going to be on Twitter. I'm going to be texting my buddies about the game. Like, that's part of my life. And so I'm not putting my phone in a box. That's all. That's what I would say.
Just depends on the activity for me, I guess. That's a random question today. I was just curious whether or not you
during the show, our phones should be required to be in the box.
It's definitely more at home, I think, where, like, it's not even temptation, I guess. It's just if you get bored or whatever, it's like, oh, you know, just see what people are saying.
I'm with you more on, like, at night, where there's definitely times where you're like, I just wasted 45, like, I should have just gone to bed. Like, and you're like, and you're just scrolling on Twitter for 30 minutes or whatever, or you're on ESPN or whatever, right? And you're like,
same reason I buy puzzles or books, and, like, I'm trying to do other things, so I'm not sitting on a phone.
I think part of Lego
with my kid or whatever.
That would be fine, but I'm not disciplined enough to be able to say, you know what, I'm gonna just listen to music and relax or whatever the case is. I get pulled by the phone too much, so.
Someone did say
I'm almost forcing myself to have better discipline, I guess, in a way.
913-586-7965. Someone said the ringer's never on. No notification sounds. No ringer ever. So my ringer's never on. Yeah, there's no sounds.
But there's silent.
But there's a vibrate. If it's on the nightstand, I can still. And this is why I do not disturb when I go to bed, because I have some friends that live in a time zone out west, right? They're in Mountain Time and they're in Pacific Time. So, you know, if I go to bed and it's 10:30 for them, it's only 8:30. So they still might be texting. I don't want to wake up to the constant buzzing of a text. So that's why I do not disturb.
And look, the truth is, like, when my kids finally do get a cell phone, whenever the hell that is, not this year.
How many more, Cody? Two more years? Three more years?
I will make it to at least middle school. I'd like to make it to high school.
What is that? 4 more years?
My daughter's in fourth grade.
Okay.
So, I mean, middle school, but even sixth grade, I don't, yeah. But I will have the rule for them so that they can break that habit of, and I've seen parents do this before, the phones at night, they don't go to the room with you. They stay in a common area of the house, away from you.
For
they,
kids,
they,
I totally
they
get that.
Charge
yeah.
downstairs. Yeah. They charge somewhere else starting at a certain time, and you're just not, it's not just like constant access to go find it. So, like, that part of it is definitely going to take place. It's just a matter of, you know, how do you keep them from doing it? But, you know, like, you know, get done with their 15 minutes iPads, like, can I play a little Nintendo? You're like, hey, we're going to wait a little while. Let's do some other stuff. Let's get a game out. Let's do this. Like, you're constantly trying to, because it's easy to be from one screen to another. You and I keep a laptop in front of us for the full 4 hours. So it's not like, you know, it's right. It's easy to just be like, well, I'll just go from that screen to a different screen to this. So for me, it's like interactive. Like, sometimes I'll play a game, like a stupid game with him on Nintendo, so that at least we're doing something and talking and engaging in an activity. We play a lot of board games. He asked why we never play Monopoly.
Yeah, why don't you?
Dude, it's like a four-hour game.
Well, good. No screen time. 4 hours of that, you know?
That's tough for me, too. It's a long-ass game. Yeah. We played a lot of full Monopoly games as a kid.
It always, Risk, always Monopoly, ended in a fight. Monopoly always ended a fight with my siblings.
Oh, we've played
somebody
like
just through. Quits, you know, an hour and a half in or whatever. So there you go. That's the random question of the day. Up next, back to some Chiefs football. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. We'll ask him about the path forward for this organization, frankly. Does he think there's going to be some changes? And what about one player in particular? Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.